podcast number 44, Multimedia Men. We're here. Yay! Huh? I'm Brian Kluger with Adam Conway.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Angelica Film Center, right?
Well, that place.
That one? Yeah. We're here with Susan Kamyab. Kamyab!
Yeah,
from thischickslist.com and Irving Community Television.
That's right.
And Hillary Thomas from Fangirls, Dames of the Round Table. How are you?
I'm awake.
You're awake. We're all awake. And we're here with Andrew Conway, one of the filmmakers in Dallas. He's a good dude. And then we have Mark Chaffardini from GoSeeTalk.com.
He's all right.
He's also
good, ladies
and
gentlemen.
How are you?
I
see
the
two good dudes.
We took off last week. Some of us were in Austin. Some of us were in, I don't know, Dubai.
Cool.
Dallas. You were in Dallas.
Dubai County in Dallas.
It's a beautiful... fucking falls here, so it's actually nice outside.
Very,
it's not
100
nice. It could be nicer.
It's nice at night.
What? Are you complaining about this weather?
It was
hot. It was 60 degrees outside, which would be perfect.
I was working yesterday, a shoot outside, and I was melting.
Oh, no.
And it was hot.
Did you do the,
I'm melting.
I worked one day outside.
One day. I have a lot of shoots that are outside.
Any day where I walk outside and I start sweating is a bad day. So I'm just saying, let's just take it down a notch.
Take it down.
20 degrees and we'll be good.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would be like 50 degrees outside.
70 is perfect.
Yeah, 70.
Apparently one notch is 20 degrees.
10 more degrees. We need 10 more degrees down.
This turned into a weather podcast. All right, what's on the table? What's on the table? We have the Halloween Complete Collection Blu-ray. Yeah, it has even the Rob Zombie ones in it. We have Zach Brannigan action figure. We have a movie called The Squad. Something is out there. It's got a dude screaming on the front cover.
We have five various pins.
We've got a Criterion Collection, Sundays in Sybil by Sergey. Don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, we have a movie that shouldn't be on the table.
Sergey.
Who brought the $1 million?
Borg,
we're going. I've never seen $1 million.
It's good.
Really,
yeah,
good.
We have Disney's John Hamm.
I believe that's the first movie.
Doing his best to explain.
Was that the first movie, $1 million Arm?
Yeah,
awesome.
For him's sake.
It's a little cliche, but it's good.
Mine's in the squad. I can't read this. The print is really small. Wait, it's all in Spanish.
Sweet. Spanish
names,
movie.
There's a last name of Mescal, it looks like.
It is.
So it's $1 million
Arm
movie about robots.
It's a story, Brian, that truly inspires.
I'm sure I wouldn't like
it. It takes place in Colombia.
Colombia.
Super much
Arm. He's a Pablo Escobar. In it.
Miguel Ferrer.
Of course.
That's on our table. Oh, and we have
George Clooney's cousin.
I don't know.
Don't forget the Revenge of the Nerds.
The Revenge of the Nerds soundtrack on vinyl.
Robocopy.
Revenge. It's like the past tense revenge. All right, so we'll start with our on-the-fly question for the round table, for the table.
This is not a round table.
This is a rectangular table.
I thought it was an octagon.
Are we in the octagon? Steel cage match coming up. All right, the question for everybody. You got to answer.
Do we have to? I guess pass.
No.
Is this a Thunderdome question?
The Thunderdome question?
Let's hear it.
What
is this?
What film character would you marry and spend the rest of your life with?
It's not a death question.
No, it's not a death.
What film character?
What film character or TV character would you want to marry and spend the rest of your life with?
Oh, this right away.
Go, Hillary.
Martin Blank from Gross Point Blank.
Nice.
Really? Why?
Why? Because that guy is crazy awesome. I mean, he's hilarious. He's also got some seriously mad assassination skills.
So he would protect you?
He would protect me. He's hilarious. He's got total paranoia. What's not to love about that? So, I mean, like, I would always be protected.
So you would bring him back to your high school reunion to kick off people?
That's right.
Sweet. That's a good... I like that.
He's got great friends. I mean, Jeremy Piven.
That's true.
Jeremy Piven.
10 years.
10 years! I killed the president of Paraguay with a fork. How have you been?
And who's next? Susan?
This is hard because I got three.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So Susan is going Mormon, so she didn't have three husbands.
I'm
going
to pick one.
She's
going to
go three husbands.
I just can't choose.
You write them in order of height.
Husband brothers.
Brother husbands.
Someone else has one they can go.
I'll go.
Really
all right, Mark.
Okay, first choice, and I'm sort of like, I have two choices. If I was 12-year-old me, I would marry Kim Cattrall from Mannequin.
Why? Why?
Because she was amazing.
Any moment, your life could turn into a music video.
Yeah.
Rock out.
Hollywood!
Dude,
yeah.
That's a really good
nothing
movie. Like,
the
serious.
Songs now
is
that one?
Yeah.
Yes!
Right.
No, that's from Mannequin. You're right.
That was from the end, but the song that they danced to in the music video, or in the middle of the movie, I forget what it was, but I had a crush on her. And because she also sort of it was like Mannequin and Big Trouble in Little China. I had this Kim Cattrall crush.
Dude, Big Trouble in Little China is one of the best movies from the 80s.
But if you were to ask maybe now me, I would say Vesper Berlin from Casino Royale.
Hell yeah.
Evergreen.
Even though she like fucks him over?
Game, set, match.
He likes it rough.
That's pretty awesome.
She's hot.
So is Kim Cattrall, though. All right. Who's ready? Who's up next? Susan.
See, I think, okay, I love Jim Halpert, but I do think realistically he's too old for me, probably.
What?
You're like 19, right?
That's right, you do like them really young. I
don't
forgot
like
about
them
that.
Really young, but I mean, I know.
The
I'm
younger,
sure.
The better. I mean, like
how
that divergent dude, right? She likes that divergent dude.
Miles
like
Teller.
Early,
yeah, that's what I
late 20s, early 30s.
Is it? Okay, well.
I'm getting for the secret. She asked him, Josh, since she likes them young.
No, I actually just saw Two Night Stand, which wasn't as bad as people probably think it's good.
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller's character in Two Night Stand. His name is Alec.
Wow, you went like recent.
I know, well, because he's just so attractive.
But
like,
not the actor, but the character.
No, the character is so attractive. He's so funny. Like, I like that quick wit, and I feel like if I was trapped in a house with him, like this girl was, I would never be bored because he would just be throwing out the jokes.
What's his character name in the movie?
Alec.
So that's what does it for
him. All right.
Funny is what does it for me.
Funny.
Like, big time.
Who made someone they just met? Didn't you learn anything from Frozen?
Yeah. if it's Alec,
so that's your one.
That is my one. Alec, Miles Teller from Two Night Stand. That character, because he was hilarious. He was sweet. He wasn't crazy. He was fun. And he looked like
she chose him young.
Likes him.
He's not young though. He's like,
come on.
He's 27.
Child.
Just turned 40. We're all in our 30s.
Yes.
Except for you. Happy belated birthday. How old?
43.
43.
Oh, you don't look.
So that's good. All right. Andrew, who would you live with? Who would you marry?
Who
you watch your life with?
I got two also. One younger me, for sure. I would go with Sarah from The Labyrinth.
Okay.
Yes. Jennifer Connelly.
Let me one of you and I will be your slave.
Can she be my babysitter?
Yes. She can babysit me anytime.
Oh, geez.
That'd be Elizabeth Shue.
And then I think I want someone. She's like a badass chick, so I'm
going to
go with...
Wait for my answer.
A BSC.
A badass chick. I think, you know, it'd be cool, like, she her accent.
Who?
$4 million.
To Lulu.
Lulu?
She was a badass, absolutely.
And orange hair, I like it.
All right.
Oh, man, I'm not sure he would have said Zoe Bell or something. And
Zoe
like,
Bell.
Yeah.
I actually thought of...
She seems fun. She seems more... She seems crazy, though.
Actually, I thought of one. I would definitely Clementine from Eternal Sunshine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
That's what a fourth one's on.
Third one.
No one knows something about those.
Okay.
I like Zoe.
So, I like women.
I like women. I like women. I like that. All right. Adam.
Well, 80s me would be going gay for Lloyd Dobler.
That is a good one. I agree. I almost said Lloyd Dobler.
Young baby Lloyd Dobler.
Hell yeah. I would pick him before I discovered.
I do love John.
That's two John Cusacks.
Dude, it's John Cusack?
That's two John Cusacks.
I would take John Cusack now in any. Anyway.
gets to happen. Anyway.
Caught Air, John Cusack.
John Cusack is in my top three faux show.
He's not. All right. So
and me now would pick Emma Stone from either Easy A or as Gwen Stacy from Amazing Spider-Man.
That's good. That is a solid choice.
Yeah.
I got the goosebumps when she's
witty.
She's delicious.
Yeah, she is awesome.
What's that movie she was in with that Ryan Gosling fellow?
Crazy Stupid Love.
She's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
I like her.
That's a good character. She was a good character there. She's always so likable.
I know.
Good job, Stacy,
man.
That is a good one.
Clear.
Mine is Chris Parker from Adventures in
Mike
Bull City.
Michael Myers.
Wasn't it Shoe?
I'm sure he was going to say something disgusting.
Because
the doctor from
Human Centipede.
I thought you'd say something gross.
Really?
Who's your character?
Oh, totally.
Or something I've never heard of.
Chris Parker from Adventures in Babysitting. She's responsible.
I put that in your head.
That's a good one.
No, I feel like
she looks
hot.
Good now, too.
She sings the blues. She fucking fights off two gangs. Don't fuck with the babysitter in the subway car. She's awesome. She sang the blues, man, with Albert Collins.
You should mix that with
a good one.
I'm surprised somebody didn't think I would choose somebody from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but no.
If Claire was here, she would choose Spike, probably.
See? I'm so curious who Gwen would have picked.
I don't know. I'm terribly torn all the time, but I mean, like, they came with the sun.
Gwen would pick Jack Palance.
Yeah,
she's not over 60.
Shoot
Jack
Palance
and Walter
Matthau
from
Brooklyn.
No,
I think she'd pick, either pick Dan Stevens from The Guest, or she'd pick Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fassbender from Shame.
That poor guy.
Hemsworth from that dude.
Lassie?
Thor's hammer.
Anyway. She may pick Loki.
She would.
She probably picked Loki.
She would.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So for the second part of this question.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
How would you kill me?
How would you kill
me? What's sex happening?
Just kidding. Alright, so that let us know what your favorite
so
you want to marry and spend the rest of your life with. Tell us on our Facebook, on our Twitter, look us up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. But yeah, let us know who you would marry as a film character. See if we can come up with any more...
Samantha Baker.
Yeah, or that, or any more, what's his name? Sean Cusack. Brain. Not here. All right, let's move on to some news. Some news from the past week or two. Bill and Ted 3. Finally happening. We've been talking about it. Yeah. Keanu and Alex Winter. Somebody's writing that. Somebody big.
Alex Winter himself.
They haven't...
I thought they just got the writer for it or something like that. They're working on it still, but they hired a writer. Somebody big, but Bill and Ted 3 is actually happening. Keanu and Alex will reprise their roles in Bill and Ted, which is awesome.
Whoa.
Very excited. More news. Josh Holloway, known as Sawyer on Lost, and Lost creator Carlton Cuse, they're teaming up to do a USA pilot called Colony, where it sounds a little bit like Red Dawn, where there's like a mysterious occupation that comes into the U.S., and Josh Holloway's the lead, where he is a CIA agent trying to work both sides.
Just let it go, people.
What? What's wrong with that?
Don't remake Red Dawn.
They're not remaking Red Dawn, but it sounds
like
it.
It's already in the ring.
But I mean, like, they should
Yeah, they did remake Red Dawn.
They did, with Chris Hemsworth.
And it wasn't terrible.
Oh, it's terrible.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh. You like everything. It's such a problem.
Fuck me, right?
It's really
everything.
It's not. I'm serious.
I've heard complaints.
I watched it well.
More news for the sequel to Ted, the little teddy bear movie.
Oh, yay!
Liam Neeson and John Slattery will be in Ted 2. So I wonder.
John Slattery.
He will. I love John Slattery.
What is he? Like another animated teddy bear?
I don't know, but like hopefully
like the boss or something.
Hopefully he's like Roger Sterling from Mad Men again. But
yeah.
Liam Neeson and Ted, so I wonder if
somebody must have kidnapped Ted.
Ted, yeah.
He's gonna go kill everybody.
Well, that happened in the first movie, somebody killed Ted. So here's a movie for Mark Chaffardini. Ridley Scott says his Blade Runner 2 script is finished. And that there will be no xenomorphs in Prometheus 2.
In Blade Runner 2.
Oh, really?
What? Prometheus 2, no xenomorphs.
No!
Why?
Well, how are they going to get off that one planet that they're on? That's the thing.
Can I just tell you something?
Well, they said it trades in the same realm as Alien, but I mean,
it's
all
not
the
a prequel. It's just in the same
continuity.
Otherwise,
like, what's the fuck
that shit? Well, it was sort of there at the
end. Why would you kill it yourself?
There's more than one alien in the world.
Clearly, we sent Reethers.
Do you want a Prometheus 2?
I mean, no. The movie was horrible. It was a big piece of shit.
It could have been way better.
I did not like Prometheus.
It was not what
happened. There were some negative elements, but there was so much stuff wrong with it, too.
Like, it was like, what?
I just want.
Yeah. I mean, like, give us what we wanted. I mean, like, you really wanted to see more of
the
story.
There were so many ludicrous things wrong with it. It's just so...
Well, apparently...
I'm just
going to
let him speak for me in this.
You have two screenwriters. Simon Kimber is the other guy. And they just... And Damon Lindelof. When he came on, pretty much everything went the Lost way of doing it. Posing more questions than answers. And I guess Ridley liked that ambiguity, and he liked not having to, you know, create a bookend to something that he created, you know, 30 years ago. And, I mean, it takes the weight off him, but then again, you have a legion of fans who want one thing, and they don't care how cool, how crazy, how interesting it is. Granted, there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of loopholes, but it's like, people just want those bookends to come together, and it didn't. So.
It didn't. You can tell that it might have been a few writers because some of the characters' traits like get muddled halfway through. Like one, all of a sudden, this guy that's like a bioengineer is like scared of a dead alien carcass. Then all of a sudden, he's trying to make love with this alien snake in a freaking, you know, lava pit. And you're like, what was going on with this guy? What we got? It was.
I didn't think it was that.
There's a deleted scene.
No, yeah, of course
it
did.
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, yeah, because why was he scared of a dead alien body?
The whole time I was like, this is shit.
It was bad. I was hoping for so much because it was such a great cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything was in place, but it just...
There were things wrong with it.
Oh, yeah, terrible. Yeah, many things.
Now, here's part of my thought process. Is like, when they said they were going to create a prequel to The Planet of the Apes, I think a lot of people just lost their minds. Like, how can you put something in front of the Charlton Heston movie? That one actually worked.
But it was successful.
Yeah,
that was great.
And so did the follow-up.
Exactly.
So it's sort of like, that works, but doesn't mean it works. There's no formula for it. So I kind of don't want to see a Blade Runner 2. I don't want to see... I do kind of want to see them...
It'd be cool if they reimagined it. Like,
I would see them try to right the ship rather than just leave that as the turn that is before Alien.
Well, it's weird. It's interesting because you say Prometheus. It's kind of like the Star Wars prequels. The Star Wars prequels, they took everything they loved from the original Star Wars movies and did not put anything into the prequels for it. Such like as, I guess, Prometheus. They took all the stuff we liked about the first, the Alien movie.
But you can live without the prequels. Like, if those weren't made, it'd be okay. Like, people would still enjoy Star Wars. They'd be happy that there's, you know, actual sequels coming out. I think you could live without the prequels.
Yeah.
Nothing to build on the universe in my
opinion. Those three Star Wars movies were just not even what?
They're not even movies.
It's
garbage.
You throw away the first two.
But I'd watch Blade Runner 2, and I will definitely see Prometheus.
The only question I have from those movies is, why isn't Mace Windu, why isn't Liam Neeson's character, why aren't they ghosts also? I don't understand this.
Maybe
you can only see four ghosts at a time, okay?
Yeah, why isn't Jules Winfield a ghost?
Well, you see Liam Neeson die. Like, why isn't he at the end there celebrating with all the other ghosts? Like, oh, come on,
we didn't see Qui-Gon
die.
The same.
But you saw Qui-Gon die, and he's not there celebrating with all the other guys.
They couldn't.
He's like, fuck all y'all.
Yeah, I'm not doing this.
Jump.
All right, fall has started officially. The fall TV slate. Give me TV shows we should watch.
Shield.
Gotham.
You say Shield, Agents of Shield, season two, right?
Set up really well.
The first episode.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not buying into the world yet, so we'll see.
I've actually heard two of my close friends have said that Gotham is not good.
Ooh. They're wrong.
Oh, wow.
All right, well, I'm going to watch it today. What is it?
Has there been two episodes?
Just one.
Yeah, it's
okay. It's good. It's a pilot. I think it's good because
it's a lot of setup.
The setup is good. Yeah. I like how, because one said it too. Normally, pilots just, like, you're like, oh, you know how this is going to end. You can already figure it out. But I like that we are introduced all these villains And I can't wait to see
how and the early stages of their lives. Yeah. You know, you have, you know, Edward Nigma, who's working at the police station at the time, and he's sort of, you start seeing, like, little, he does a riddle, and, you know, it's little things like that, like little Easter eggs for you.
And the guy who plays Penguin is incredible. Really, yeah. So if anyone says anything bad about him, that is like...
He's good.
He's crackheads.
Yeah. I think you will agree. He's amazing.
Okay.
And they said...
I'll take your word for it.
They said that, like, we may have been introduced to the Joker without even knowing it, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they would say it would be the guy who gets back shot. The parents. Because that's how...
Oh,
is it Joker? Joker?
They said the guy that was at the nightclub that was, like, making jokes... It was, I read something online. I don't know.
Is Heath Ledger playing the Joker?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, he came back.
But yeah.
That is an asshole comment,
Ryan. Wait, why?
Do you know what, though? Let me say something.
Donald Ledger is great.
A wonderful Joker.
I like so many.
Jack Nicholson. You know what I mean? Like, the Joker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying the Joker is the ultimate sociopath.
Yeah.
And anyone who's able to take that character and make it his own, I mean, it's fine. But I mean, like, the guy who killed Bruce Wayne's parents is not the same guy.
There's no way he is. Yeah.
It's not the same guy as the Joker. The guy who killed his parents is just some random dude.
Tim Burton decided
to go. I don't know who it is. Obviously,
Tim Burton
did it, like,
did
intentionally to kill the parents. He wasn't just robbing them.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
No, I mean, like, that's the guy. But I mean, like... The story on how the Joker becomes the Joker is one of the most quintessential comic books of all time. It's called The Killing Joke, and if you've never read it, you should. It's the ultimate fanboy, fangirl thing.
Is that the one that was written by Brian Azzarello? Or
Alan
Moore? Alan Moore.
Alan Moore, Brian Bolland.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's amazing.
But so Gotham, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., South Park started.
As the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. features none other than Lucy Lawless.
Really?
Oh, man, and she is... And it is straight up like a mind bender. Like, it's just like, what? Just all this crap is going on.
They throw a lot of news. Yes, news.
It's absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to tell you, Clark Gregg, as deputy director, Coulson, just...
Good.
Oh, my God, he's so good!
What else?
SNL
came back.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of
stuff
coming back.
I watched Bones.
Yeah.
I did watch the season
watched
of Bones.
Forever pilot.
It was
Forever?
Okay. So Forever, Bones,
I'm going to watch Mulaney. That starts next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch
Bones.
Is that
night?
What season is Bones?
Next season 10.
Is that night?
Yeah.
They kill off a major character.
Check that. I
want
to watch it.
Oh, and
my heart broke.
Scorpion. I watched Scorpion. I actually was really impressed with Scorpion.
Scorpion?
Yeah. It's about a bunch of geniuses that solve... It's a procedural on CBS, but it's actually out of pretty good... pretty good cast.
And
the pilot was directed by Justin Lin.
It's got this really good pacing, and Justin Lin just signed on for the True Detective season.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about True Detective season 2. We have Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell. We're thinking Rachel McAdams is going to be added.
And also
Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor
Kitsch, not a fan.
Right.
But
I don't know. Friday Night Lights is good, but.
But
I like Don Carter Mars.
And so Justin Lin directing the first two episodes at least.
So at least we know that's going to be like high action.
I'm not familiar with Justin Lin.
All the Fast and Furious ones. Fast and Furious 1 and.
Well, he brought back. Yeah, it was,
for like the last six or seven.
They were actually.
I think he'll be decent at it.
Other shows, you have like Shonda Rhimes' new show with Viola Davis.
It was actually pretty good. I watched the pilot.
It's so much going on. It's gonna be hard to say.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, it's like
there's lots of murder.
Murder.
But.
And I'm excited for, I guess, Grace Point, which is a remake of the British show that starred David Tennant. And he's also in the English version.
All the other good stuff that starts the week after next, too, which is American Horror Story.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
It's awesome because it's the freak show.
Yeah.
I
miss Carnival.
That he's worried that season is going to be too scary for TV. That was a
you know what?
That's a good marketing ploy.
It's a clown killer.
Clowns are scary.
Apparently, so what they were saying is he wears a mask, and what they said what is under what I was reading in the in the blurbs and on the internet. But I mean, like, I can't even look at the picture of the clown because I'm going to tell you, clowns make me want to vomit so bad. But apparently what the clown wears underneath his mask is
really
scary. Angela Bassett has three boobs. I got really excited because she's like a three boob.
She gets to the
Sarah Paulson has two heads.
And Sarah Paulson has two heads. They're bringing back Pepper, the pinhead, from season, from the Asylum episode. And I was like, so it's a prequel to Asylum. And I got so stoked about it because I was like, oh my God.
The marketing for that's been really good.
It's been phenomenal. And of course, Jessica Lange looking incredible.
Has she won an Emmy for that yet?
She did.
Like, yeah,
I'm going to tell you right now that this show is so scary. And everyone's like, what? And I'm like, dude, it's amazing. It's amazing. And so there's that. Of course.
Is Emma Roberts coming back to it?
Yes. Season 10 of Supernatural is about to start, and I'm scared to death that it's going to be.
And the final season of Boardwalk
is so generic.
Demon.
Yeah, really? They run out of ideas.
Let's talk about the demon for just a second.
Oh, so it's a play on demon.
So if you know,
I didn't
know that. So he supposedly Jared Padalecki supposedly died last season.
He did. And Crowley is like, he's like, come on, honey, you've got still got things to do. And he's like, over him. He's like, you've got things to do still, and he's howling at him. And all of a sudden, he wakes up, and his eyes are black, and I'm like, come on! And I, like, wanted to throw shit at the TV.
I feel like, one of the guys every season. Like, this is the thing.
They said it in a weekly that made me laugh so hard. He said, Dean's like a wild card, you know, just killing people wherever he liked. And he goes, and I guarantee Sam's going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, that's every season.
Do you watch Supernatural? It'd be right up your alley.
And Sam is,
Sam needs a haircut, too. That's the other thing.
So that's pretty funny.
I'll get it for you in a second. Boardwalk. Boardwalk has started. It's been good. It's the last season.
It's a truncated season, I heard, too. It's only 8 episodes, so it's going to
so far, it's been really good.
And it's a flash forward, too, so it's at the end. So the whole series
started.
No, it's not in
soon. So the whole thing starts with Prohibition. They flash forward to the end of Prohibition. And so they're showing
I want to see the flash.
What's happening all these times.
I don't know a lot of the
Prohibition finally ends. It's the reign of, like, Al Capone and all these, you don't get to actually see them like in their prime. And so it's actually a really good this season. You're also seeing like sort of the beginnings of Nucky too. They're flashing back to like him as a kid and so how he sort of got into this whole world. So it's really good.
I like it. I like the flashbacks.
We also have The Flash.
The Flash and Arrow. I think they premiere on the same day.
Nice. Flash's pilot was really good. I mean, it was phenomenal. Like Smallville, good.
Smallville sucks.
Why does Smallville suck?
Superman. Do we need to go there about my Superman problem?
I admit the last three seasons stuff sucks.
Well, because they were afraid back then because they don't want him wearing the costume.
John Peter's vision of Superman.
Just a duster. You wear dusters once or twice.
So, I have not seen Arrow, and I want to see...
You've never seen Arrow?
I've never seen Arrow.
There's this one episode, okay, so you're familiar with the whole Oliver Queen, you know, like, he goes to the desert island, and you expect him to come back. Like, he's supposed to be changed. He's really supposed to be changed. Well, he's in Starling City, and, like, they get kidnapped by these thugs. And, like, his best friend is passed out. And so he goes to, like, fight the thugs. And he's on top of the roof. And this is what really, like, this is the scene where it, like, really sticks out in your head. And you're like, he's obviously very physically changed. Like, you know that he might be changed. But he goes and he's on top. And, of course, there's a lot of parkour and martial arts and Arrow. I mean, like, dude, Stephen Amell is, like, something else.
So is Arrow worth watching?
Yes. I hear it's good.
But, like, he jumps up on this, and, like, there's this one scene where he's, like, on top of the roof, and he just shoots up like this, and it is all Stephen Amell in this one shot, and he just shoots up, and you can see him moving, and you're like, what? And you can actually tell, like, it's obvious that he is physically changed, and there's something else going on, and he's sleeker and move, and you're like, at that point, it just grabs you. There's a few glitches in the system of Arrow throughout the first and second season.
I believe
you'll overlook it because the storyline gets better. You know what I mean? And of course, Manu Bennett joins the cast. And, I'm sorry, Deathstroke is.
I have to watch it. I'll watch Flash. I'll give it a shot.
And Constantine?
I'll give Gotham a shot for you. Only for you.
Flash is awesome. The pilot for Flash is so phenomenal. It was put together beautifully. That kid is perfect.
For Flash?
Oh my gosh. He is perfect. And like the whole series, like, it's, I don't know, the way it was just like real snappy. You know what I mean? Like it was.
You saw Flash at Comic Con, right? Uh-huh.
It was good. It really was. I don't know if I'm going to watch Flash because I watch a lot of movies, people.
We do too, but I mean, like, we download a lot of stuff.
All right, let's do the box office. Number one, can you guess?
Equalizer.
Denzel.
Equalizer, okay.
Denzel, $35 million.
So beat Maze Runner.
Number two is Box Trolls.
Really?
Number three.
Everyone has said it's that.
Well, Maze Runner and Box Trolls each had like 17 million.
So Maze
Runner's
three?
Thank you.
Maze Runner's number three. This Is Where I Leave You with 7 million. Nice. Number four.
I want to see that.
And
I
really good.
Out of Nowhere, Dolphin Tale 2 and number five with 4.8.
You see they just announced the bad guy for Maze Runner 2 is going to be Aidan Gillian from
Game of Thrones and The Wire.
Can I just tell you that that dude
is awesome.
I'm excited for Maze Runner.
Mayor Carcetti.
Mayor Carcetti will always be.
He is good.
Even when we watch
Aiden
Turner,
like
was
it
his name?
He's Littlefinger. He's the one. Have you watched Game of Thrones?
No, I'm looking at his picture now. This guy?
Yes.
Dude, that's Mayor Carcetti from The Wire.
She hasn't seen The Wire.
What? Oh,
don't. She's catching up. She just watched 6 Feet Under. We're proud of her.
Yes, The Wire
is just as good as it's almost as good as 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, there you go.
Wire's really good.
I've never had any interest.
It's excellent. Oh, you should.
Is it that good?
No, it's amazing. It's one of the best.
It's Idris Elba.
Idris Elba's in it, and he's amazing.
I haven't finished Breaking Bad yet.
You haven't eaten yourself a fetish?
You can put it just like you can bring it out on hold. I watched No Good Deed.
Oh, yeah. Your favorite movie of the year?
I watched it online.
Oh, my God. The Wire is so good.
Illegally?
Right now.
I screamed.
Dominic West is so good. This whole The Wire
is
Jeff's favorite show of all time. Like, he watches it.
The Wire is one of the best shows ever on television. You should definitely check it out. It's on
The Wire and The Shield.
Didn't it lose something called Quantum Leap on the TV show?
Because you're assholes, that's why.
You're
idiots.
He's a Batman, right? Yes.
Do I like Batman?
Exactly. There you go. You'll like the big cast as the little Batman.
All right.
Little Bruce is good.
That's
Little Bruce.
His scream though was the
that was a good scream.
Which was?
Was it a Will Smith scream?
What are you talking about?
He screamed. Okay.
What are you talking about?
From Gotham, when after his parents died, Little Bruce.
Spoiler!
I wish it was a Wilhelm scream.
I just discovered like the true meaning of the Wilhelm scream within the last few months, and my husband told me about it, and I started laughing. So like every time I hear one, I just like start.
There it is. It's in so many movies. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Fantastic Fest, the festival that myself, Mark Jaffardini, Andrew, and Adam Conway went to in Austin. Fantastic Fest. If you do not know, it's one of the best film festivals in the world. It's all horror movies and genre films. It's a place where you can go and actually have beers and sit next to the people that were in the movies and that made the movies. Mark and I actually got to take filmmakers and actors from our hotel every day to and from the theater because they stayed where we did.
Really?
Yeah, it was really
so
cool. They were from Uruguay, and they were really badass.
I sat next to Edgar Wright in a movie.
Yeah?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
But y'all ate.
Did he like touch his elbow and go? Oh,
it was funny because he kept like, doing his laugh.
Sorry, King Joffrey.
It's like really unique laugh.
On the opening night, Eli Roth reprised his character as the Bear Jew and took out a fucking pinata in the bar,
nice.
Which was awesome.
I would have run up to him and go, "Can I hold you?
Can I hold you, the Bear Jew?"
It was a giant eyeball.
But it's a really fun festival. It's highly recommended. It's we were there from like almost 8:30 a.m. till 3 a.m. every night.
Drunk no time.
Where are your drunk stories?
Our drunk stories? Yeah. Our drunk stories. Yeah,
what was the craziest thing you did?
Where did Joe Lynch touch you, Brian?
He did absolutely touch me. That's really good. Joe Lynch is awesome. But we saw tons of movies. I think one of the first ones we'll talk about. Did anybody else see The Babadook but me?
No.
You were with me, The Babadook. It's an Australian horror movie, which has not gotten a release date up until last week in the U.S. It's coming out.
The Bad Lip Reading.
The Babadook. No, it is.
It's
the scariest movie since The Shining, I think.
It won Best Horror Movie.
Yeah, it got Best
Horror.
The Babadook. But I heard It Follows was really good.
It Follows won a lot of awards also. And I really want to see that too.
Which is scarier?
Babadook is completely frightening. It's the scariest movie I've seen since The Shining.
It's the scariest movie.
And the actors have been winning awards for that movie as well in the past.
Well, It Follows stars the girl from The Guest. And it's basically about...
I like her.
We'll go together soon.
Where a demon curse is passed down through sexual relations.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
but The Babadook is, if you take a look, it's a bedtime story. The Babadook's really good. Did you like it?
I did, quite a lot.
We sat next to each other, right?
We're all going to be together.
We were behind each other.
Everybody's eyes.
I'll be in the fetal position.
Yeah, look at you.
Sitting up straight.
We'll all go together and you can all hold me.
Well, other winners were Alleluia, which I heard was really good too. And Lou Bucci Taylor won for Spring, for Best Actor.
We also watched VHS 3, which is the third and possibly final chapter in a horror anthology. VHS 3, the best one, hands down, was Nacho Vigalondo's movie. Mark.
Parallel Monsters.
Yeah. Chaffardini got to interview all the directors and actors, including Nacho, and to sum up Nacho's short in that, what he said in the interview. How do you say it? Is it monster genitals or genital monsters?
Yes.
It's all we'll give you.
It'll make a lot of sense to see it. But, but each of these segments, barring the Dante the Great really sort of, brought their game and raised the bar, thing, they say that this is the final leg in, what's being called a trilogy, but, in the words of Nacho and even the directors I talked to, they said, we hope one day that this will be sort of like the Bond series, where you'll be able to buy a big box set of VHS, like 1 through 30, and it has to be the VHS.
But the great thing about these things is that, you can take quality entertainment and tell it in a really concise manner. These really short bursts. That's what made the Twilight Zone work so well. You take a story, 8 to 10 minutes, and you move on.
The anthologies were
interesting. And speaking of anthologies, we also saw the sequel to The ABCs of Death, which you can see on Netflix. We saw ABCs of Death 2, and they brought 18 of the 26 filmmakers in.
And that was a lot better than
the And if you don't, you're not sure.
First one wasn't that
good. If you're not familiar with ABCs of Death, the studio sends 26 directors from around the world, horror movie directors, gives them a letter each. They have to think of a word that begins with that letter, and then make a movie about death, which is 2 to 5 minutes.
That's clever.
It's quite fun. In ABCs of Death 2, there were some ones that were definitely like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, they go from like XXX porn almost to gory to subtle.
Way out there, like a Tool video. Just
yeah. But yeah, there were some. Then they had somebody. What was the African guy they brought? He was like the furthest.
I don't remember his name. It had a lot of.
Where did he come from, though?
I think it was Ghana.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but they flew him in. But he was there. His one was pretty good. We also saw a documentary, which was crazy, called Dwarf's Kingdom, which is about.
That doesn't sound good.
It was actually pretty damn good. It's about what's it called? The
theme park?
Theme park in China. It's all little people, midgets. And they actually live there in the town and perform twice daily for anywhere from 0 people to 100 people.
For
regular people. It's for anybody to come.
So it's quite literally a small world in Disney World.
So yeah,
it's an animatronics. There are small
people. And the guy that owned the place was like, this isn't a freak show. Like, the only way, because a lot of places you can't see little people in China. Like, this is a place to go see a bunch in one place. And so he kept say, like, it's not a freak show. It's just it's a place for you to come see something you don't normally see.
Yeah, supposedly these little people can't get real jobs, so they recruit people to come live there in their, like, dorms. Like, yeah. It was actually kind of... Would you say it was offensive?
People
there seemed to... They did a Q&A with the director afterwards, and one of the questions was, did the answer seem forced? Like, if, like, the boss was there, did they have to say... And they said, like, not really. It was like,
it's funny to see, like, the bosses, because they said the first thing they shot was that little tour that they showed someone at the end with a girl, and she's just like, oh, this is a small house. Look, I'm this tall. Look how tall this is.
Tall,
and I kept it in this door. It's so funny.
And the owner of the place
is a regular sized person. Yeah.
When he's also, addicted to Avatar, and he started building
James Cameron's Avatar.
Yeah, he's of all time. And he started building an Avatar tree out in the middle of nowhere, and
never finished it.
That's part of the theme park, but like a lot of the theme park, which they said is like unfinished because this guy bought all these like rides and all this stuff, and it's all just dilapidated because they don't have the money to actually finish all this stuff. And so there's a crazy, like, they show this huge crazy tree. It's just abandoned. It's like they walk through it. It's just like. It's very interesting.
Yeah, but it was you see these people, and they just like they're real people, and like I guess two of the performers that used to work there went out into this like the city to get real jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, those two had college degrees, but they're basically selling yogurt in karaoke rooms, and that's what they're doing. So they kind of miss where they got to perform every day, and it was. I don't know if it was sad because people seemed kind of happy, but
yeah.
It was. I mean, it's kind of you watch and you're like, man, would you ever pay to go see this? And like, they work 7 days a week, twice a day, even if there's nobody there. And it's, I guess, it's songs and dancing and
yeah,
I guess circus tricks. But yeah, it was definitely interesting. It was definitely. You saw what was the documentary?
I saw a couple. Yeah, Electric Boogaloo, which is awesome.
Which is one of the candidates. Yeah. It's very good. I would recommend go seeing it.
And it was around like in the 80s, and like they basically did a whole any B movie almost from the 80s. They were like a part of, like, so you had like Over the Top, Master Universe, like, you know, Breakin' actually made them a ton of money, and that's what.
And they brought a lot of actors, like a lot of like action actors, like Chuck Norris got pretty much. He did almost every other movie for Canon Films, and they actually discovered Jean-Claude Van Damme, and you know they brought directors like Tobe Hooper, who did
Chainsaw Massacre.
He like got to grow up with Canon Films and got to do a lot of really, really crazy things. Like I think one of the coolest movies, I guess, Tobe Hooper actually directed was Life Force. Which is one of the craziest, like, in the world, vampire, zombie, everything thrown at you. And it was definitely great to see, like, the rise and fall of this whole company, like, and how, like, this guy's, you know, the vision and where he went. I would recommend it for sure to anybody.
Well, speaking of more documentaries, Nicholas Meyer Refn and his wife were in attendance. Nicholas Meyer Refn directed Drive and Open Eye Forgives and Bronson. Valhalla Rising, and they came. They have an hour-long documentary called My Life, and it's basically a documentary on them shooting Only God Forgives. Well, Mark and I interviewed Refn and his wife. My interview went terribly.
Why?
It's like pulling teeth getting him to talk.
Seriously?
It was not. You were in the room.
Yeah, I feel like you. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he was trying to take a back seat. He was hoping people were going to engage his wife a little more. But
I did. The first few questions on the wife, and the wife was the same way, though.
She wasn't focused on
him. Well, she was like, you asked her a question. You asked her and him a question, and it was like a sentence long answer, and that was it. Or like four words.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I remember him coming to.
He came here for that.
Yeah, he came for Drive, and he did a Q&A, and it was 20 minutes. I think one of the Dallas Press had the Q&A. It was like, okay, so tell us about the movie. And it was a 20-minute answer about how he got Ryan Gosling to play the part.
Oh, right.
And it was like,
Well, you know, I was excited to come to Los Angeles because I wanted to kill Harrison Ford in the movie. And it was like, he kind of sounds like Schwarzenegger.
He's Danish.
But, you know, I mean, he doesn't just, you know, and, you know, all the fans that went up to him afterwards, every smile of picture was this deadpan kind of like.
He got a pretty cool picture with Preston.
Well, Preston had the drive jacket.
Yeah.
He really liked that.
But he's just not a guy who has a lot of energy.
And yeah, no.
The documentary, I mean, the documentary.
He's very subdued, but like.
And so the documentary about the making of Only God Forgives, we all love Drive, but when we all saw Only God Forgives, it was kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
And in the documentary, he definitely knows that. Like,
he's confused.
He doesn't know what he's making. He's like, I don't know what's going on. He's upset. And
he's close. Even Ryan Gosling looks confused.
It's unfortunate that Ryan Gosling took notes from Only God Forgives to make his movie, which is terrible.
Which one is that?
I guess it's changed names so many times. It was like, now it's called like How to Catch a Monster, I think.
But,
it stars Matt Smith from Doctor Who.
I also got to see 2000 AD, a documentary about the comic 2000 AD, which was really good. That's the one I actually had to ever write.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's the one that was about, you know, they created Judge Dredd, and a lot of, like, famous writers, including Alan Moore, who did Watchmen, came from 2000.
Was Alan Moore in the documentary?
He was the one person that didn't make it. Yeah,
Grant, I bet you he did.
Grant Morrison was the other big name, and they got him. And yeah, Alan Moore won't. He's on. They actually talked. The Q&A afterwards, they actually said they almost got him. Like they had, like Alan Moore doesn't talk to a lot of people. He talks to one guy, like in Britain. Like he's the only guy who talks.
I bet. Yeah.
And guy actually talked to him about it, and he was interested. But you know, the problem with that is 2008. He actually like really screwed him over. Like he actually had a comic book that he did like the first series of, and he had like the 5 years of this comic planned out. And he ended up, they stole the rights from him, and it was like this huge legal thing, and so he stopped the comic book, and it's really funny, the guy that does Sandman, Neil Gaiman, was on there talking. He goes, one night he was having dinner with Alan Moore, and he actually asked Alan Moore, like, can you just tell me how you would have ended that comic book? And I can't remember the name, it was about a woman, and he told me the story, he's like, I was there, being there with this guy crying. Because I was so sad that he wasn't able to finish the story. But at the same time, I couldn't believe he was telling me how he was going to end it. I was like, it's just, that was the greatest Alan Moore. Like, So it was very good. 2008, you know, it's got some really good.
Yeah, they had a lot of good documentaries.
We also saw awesome action movie coming out called John Wick, starring Keanu Reeves. It was fucking amazing.
So it's good.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The Return of Keanu?
It is so good. It is so good. Yeah.
I want to see this.
I interviewed Keanu, and it was awesome.
I do like
you. On the red carpet?
Carpet. They did a couple one-on-ones, but I guess the round tables through Keanu, you got 3 questions each. Like, it was longer. Whereas one-on-ones only got, like, 3 minutes with him. But I got a few questions with him on the red carpet. It was awesome. But John Wick is awesome. They use the camera. They don't cut. So it's kind of like following him around to let him see him do
stuff. Awesome.
He's 50 years old, and he looks amazing, and he's still badass. Keanu Reeves. John Wick. Everly, which I really loved,
yeah.
By Joe Lynch. Joe Lynch directed Wrong Turn 2. He's in Holliston. Knights of Badassdom.
That's where I was like, where do I know him from? It was Holliston.
Oh, yeah, he's with him and Adam Green.
Yeah.
So, Everly is basically Kill Bill on speed set in one room. It stars Selma Hayek.
And a little bit of professional.
They say it's like Die Hard.
Yeah, he took...
Then I'm going to definitely want to see
it. It's like... It's... Selma Hayek is awesome. And it's a Christmas movie, too. It's all Christmas music by Bear McCreary, who did the theme.
Bear McCreary does everything.
Yeah, he's awesome. We talked about it.
He was one of the first people
you better add it to your list.
Yes. Bear McCreary and Joe Lynch started early on.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Wait, pause for just a second.
What?
You have never seen Die Hard. It's the greatest. First off, it's one of the top 25 movies of all time.
It's on the list.
It's the number one Christmas movie you could ever
watch.
It is
one of the
yourself.
Best Christmas movies.
Number one, but
I don't know. That's so cheesy.
But it's really good. Bear McCreary and Joe Lynch started way long ago. It's where they both started out. with each other.
We watch Die Hard every Christmas and drink hot chocolate.
But Everly is awesome. It's all set in one room, like I said. Yeah. It's
it was a great gimmick. It was
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Also,
we saw Horns.
Horns with
old
Daniel Radcliffe, Harold Potter,
Harry Potter,
written by Stephen King.
The makeup
effects
like Ring of Terror are so awesome.
So. Is it good?
Oh yeah,
it's good.
So it's a good story though. Too?
Yeah, is it scary?
I actually enjoyed it.
There's a few scenes, but not too scary now.
We also saw a movie called Blind, which is about a blind woman, which was one of the coolest shot movies I've seen in a while.
It's Cronenberg-like. It's a movie about a woman who starts to, she's lost her sight, and she's struggling with not only that, but, you know, the infidelity of her husband, but, you know, because she can't see anything, she can't really tell what's real and what's not, so it sort of gets some kind of dreamy sequences, and, I mean, it's just like, you know, like Ryan said, it's a beautiful shot.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Keeps you on your toes, because you just don't know who's who.
And then our first movie we saw wants you to Hardcore Disco. You explain Hardcore Disco.
This kid has it in his mind that he wants to kill these two people, and he stalks them, goes to their house, and somehow gets this, you know, falls in love with their daughter and has a sort of relationship with her. And it's bizarre. It's, you know there's, when you watch a foreign movie versus an American movie, there's so much more ambiguity.
Yeah.
And I think Brian had, you know, I was like, how did you even come up with this? But Brian's thought on it is that, I don't know if that's going to spoil it.
No, they're going to say it. Say
okay, well, it seems like it's a random killing where he kills the father, kills the mother, and then, you know, ends
I'm
up
not gonna watch
falling in love with the daughter. But Brian has the thought that it's the son that they gave up as a young child. Like they said, put him up for adoption or maybe or something. And
they got rid of him.
Yeah, he wanted to extract his revenge, but now he's got this incestuous relationship with the daughter. It's weird. It's beautifully shot. It's by a guy who does, I think he's done nothing but music videos. But, you know, that's the interesting thing about the fest. You know, you guys saw John Wick. I saw Everly. But I tried to go for most of the films that, you know, either won't find distribution or you may never find be able to see again. And that's the cool thing about the thing. You have to really give it to the credit of the programmers. Like, they select some really awesome movies.
Yeah.
Some of them are over the top. Some of them are, you know.
There's not, like, a terrible movie at Fantastic Fest.
Unless it's intentionally terrible, like Soul Tangler, which I watched.
I saw two that I'm really not fond of.
And it's available on VHS through Mondo.
Through Elliot?
Yeah, that's a big waste of time.
It won Best Documentary.
I think it's a big waste of time. The payoff is not there.
Oh, that sucks. I actually really wanted to see that. So.
And the other one was, I saw one last night. It was Felt.
Oh, Felt. How was that? We also saw a movie called Cub, which was one of the best slasher movies we've seen in a long time. Yeah, Cub was awesome. It's a Boy Scout troop. And it's
that's kind of interesting.
Are they killers?
No.
No.
They're being chased by killers.
But lots of Cub Scouts die, though. Like, and we're not talking about, like, teenagers. We're talking about, like,
there was no more
7 year olds. It's awesome.
Oh, you know what was another one? The Hive.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Which one?
The Hive.
So the Hive was directed, I can't remember what his name was, but he's best friends with James Gunn, who just did Guardians of the Galaxy and Super and Specials. So James Gunn was there, and he intro'd the film. The Hive has a great, excellent setup, but man, it felt like 3.5 hours long, and it was not just, it's like kind of like a zombie race.
So it was all
yeah. But James Gunn was there. He intro'd it and he did the key.
James Gunn was there.
He was.
That's what we keep throwing out there.
It was awesome to see him there.
Well, Sean Gunn was in the movie.
Yeah, Sean Gunn was in the movie, but he wasn't there.
Can I just tell you, I'm so happy to see that dude getting work because he was so awesome on the Gilmore Girls.
Sean Gunn?
Dude, he was Kirk.
He was Kirk. He had like every job in town. He was good, and he was Alien Orphan in the specials.
There was one more documentary Adam got to see that I missed out on, Lost Soul.
Oh, it's so good.
I really
what is Lost Soul?
Lost Soul is basically the telling of how the 1990s Island of Dr. Moreau starring Marlon Brando and Vekimer, like basically like fell apart with the original director.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous, like the story. Like, he's like, the director's like, yeah, the biggest thing I regret in life is meeting Vekimer.
Oh man!
So yeah,
Jesus Christ!
Wow,
Batman!
It's crazy. It's really good, and yeah, the story is.
That's a pure, you know, Val Kilmer was at his kind of craziest a little bit, and yeah. Also Marlon Brando is kind of on his way out.
But Marlon, yeah, like the stories they tell is, I definitely.
Well, Marlon's a diva too.
But if you like behind the scenes stories for movies, yeah, Lost Souls is great.
Yeah, the Fantastic Fest was awesome. Also, their MondoCon was their first convention. Mondo is a...
Was it Comic-Con?
Mondo?
No, I'm thinking Mondo something else.
So Mondo is like, they sell posters, and they sell vinyl and VHS. But they had their first like convention for themselves. It was terrible. It was awful. One of the worst conventions ever.
It was
poorly planned and poorly set up. However... they did release Shaun of the Dead on vinyl soundtrack, and in order to get one, they had a booth set up where there's three zombie mannequins, and you had to throw records like they do in the movie to get their heads off.
Oh, that's cool.
And depending on how many you got right, got down.
And the records were the Omen.
Yeah, the records were the Omen.
Were a bad print of the Omen.
But yeah, they stood in line for how long to get posters?
Inside, like about 3 hours.
3 hours?
It was long.
Yeah, outside.
It was close to four, I thought, but I don't know.
Three and a half.
Yeah, we got 2001 Space.
I'm sorry,
we got Looper vinyl.
And there was crickets everywhere. I don't know what was going on, but there was crickets all over the place.
I think I probably wouldn't have run.
It was hard, yeah. It was
not that good.
You think they would, it was, and then the inside wasn't planned well either, because there was like one artist that pretty much had everybody waiting in line, and it blocked every other artist.
Every other table.
And so, like, artists would not have been happy about that.
Next year they needed.
And they ran out of food. Like
they ran out of food and beverages too. Like
2 hours, all the food trucks they had there were out of food, and there was, so we couldn't buy any water. The only thing you could buy, the only thing that I left was liquor. You could be right. You could get hammered. I was like, I just want some water, man. Something to drink.
Next year, we'll plan on buying stuff from
Sam's.
Charge $1 per water.
Yeah. Exactly.
They did that at Comic Con. So many regular people were just walking around the lines with their coolers and selling a bottle of water for $1.
Good shit.
I was like, that's so smart.
It is. Buy your shit there.
Whenever we go to Comic Con, I always pack my own stuff and I have it in a bag. Like when I went to Amazing Houston, I had my lunch, I had a bottle of water, I had everything in a little tiny backpack on my.
Well, because the lines are so long at these conventions.
You don't want to leave the lines.
I don't think it was a
sweet $9.
Nobody did, yeah.
I was just like, come on.
Which is like processed cheese and bad corn chips.
Yeah.
Conchos? Not good.
The what?
Okay.
Oh.
Never
mind. All right. How did it?
Did you go to the bathroom?
So what was your... No,
okay.
So
I think it was overall,
what was your favorite part of the festival?
Yeah, let's
see. What was the best?
Yeah.
The best of the festival. Best of the festival. Best of the festival was probably talking to Joe Lynch, because I feel like we just got along so well.
Not talking to Keanu Reeves, my gosh.
Joe Lynch and I just hit it off. And then probably seeing John Wick with the crowd was pretty awesome, because that was a good crowd.
Yeah. Adam?
I don't know, like the red carpets were cool, but they were hot as hell. Just getting to talk to people about like things, you know, like the movies and the posters and stuff was fun too, just to talk to people. But I would say I really liked that Lost Souls Q&A too with the director, because he's crazy.
Yeah.
The director, yeah. He like lives on a mountain and doesn't really come out. He's just now starting to get back into filmmaking.
He doesn't come out of the mountain.
Sounds like a troll.
He apparently had a short, I don't know if it was in like VHS or some, like maybe, it was a short about an alligator man having sex with a woman. It was the craziest thing they showed. And
Herman Wright is your death.
Yeah, so, but he's getting ready to make a couple of movies, he said, and hopefully it'll be a cool experience. And he equated his movie to Jodorowsky's Dune, which was a great documentary also. And also he got the French comic book guy who did Jodorowsky's telling of the story. He's going to be doing his telling of Island of Hero now, so that's kind of cool.
That was your favorite.
Nice.
Andrew.
I think my favorite was the Cannon Films documentary and the Q&A with the director afterwards. Very, very interesting.
Sweet.
And it's cool. He actually said that one of the funniest things is the two guys that started Cannon Films is two different, Turkey or whatever.
Israel.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, he actually approached them to actually be in his film, and they're like, one of their things is they always try to beat the other competition getting movies out before each other. And like when they actually split up, they both had like competing Lombardo movies come out the same week. And so the funny thing is, like, he approached them about being in this documentary. They're like, no, we're actually making a documentary about ourselves. And so they actually released their documentary 3 weeks before his documentary.
Interesting.
And films came out called the Go-Go Brothers.
Go-Go Boys.
And so he said that you should actually watch that as a companion piece. So the Canon Films, Electric Boogaloo Canon Films documentary was great. And I have that plus a lot of films from Canon that on my list to watch because it was really good.
Cool. And Jeff Ferdini.
Yeah, I think the Babadook really was great. And a little side note, they did, Mondo, some of the artists there, they did posters for the movies that were in Fantastic Fest. And the Babadook is awesome. It's a picture of, kind of like an...
It almost looks like Halloween.
Yeah,
it's like
Halloween box set right now. It's like a big, you know, butcher's knife, and on the shadow of the forearm is the shadow of the Babadook. It's like such a great, graphically intense poster. So Babadook is cool. That may be around. But another one, you know, speaking of the Uruguayan filmmakers that we drove back and forth, their movie High Five is a really good one. It's intense. It's about these five kind of underage kids who each try a different drug. And so one person takes meth, one person takes ketamine, one person takes weed. They have this sort of madcap adventure through the streets of Uruguay in 24 hours. And then I guess my last one is one called Tombville, which I don't know, a lot of people saw. A lot of these more genre and lesser known movies. There was a lot of movies that were about an hour and 10 minutes. You guys noticed that?
There were 70 minutes or so.
But Tombville was this French one, or maybe it was by a French movie by a Danish... Danish director, and it's about this guy who has a nightmare inside his own head based on a traumatic experience when he was a kid, and it's just like a Requiem for a Dream, and you know, David Lynch, and it just gets all kinds of mad and messed up. So, you know, you'll probably never see that or High Five, but if you do, I would say check them out.
Cool. That's our Fantastic Fest coverage. We had a good time. We hope, Susan, you'll be there next time.
We'll see.
We're gonna get you in next time. Let's move on to our last segment. It's going to be based on the film Shawshank Redemption, which came out September 23rd, 1994. Only last week. That's your birthday, right?
That's my birthday.
So did you go see it on your birthday? Probably didn't, because little do you know how awesome Shawshank Redemption is. That movie cost $25 million to make and only made $28.3 million in the theater.
Wow.
Only. That's the whole run. But on home video, it was like the number one home video for like years.
It's a great movie.
And like every time it's released again, it's always number one. But that's a little interesting. It was made by... And do you know who wrote that movie? Stephen King wrote Shawshank.
I knew that.
Here was a novella.
I knew that because of The Simpsons, by the way.
Yeah.
It's part of
different
it.
Seasons. But originally, Rob Reiner was supposed to... He offered... So, $2.5 million to write and direct it. And you know who Rob Reiner, he wanted to cast?
No.
Who did Rob Reiner want to
cast? He wanted to cast Harrison Ford.
As Red.
As Red.
Yeah.
As Red. Oh,
and
wow.
Who did he want to cast as Andy Dufresne?
And Andy Dufresne was, he wanted Tom Hanks.
Well, he wanted Tom Cruise at first.
Tom Cruise at first, yeah.
That would be a terrible.
But let's talk about that. Let's talk.
I could see Tom Hanks.
Hold on.
I don't want
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let's go back to 1994. Can we watch a movie, Shawshank, as we know now, with Harrison Ford as Red and Tom Cruise as Andy? Like, just picture, like, the best scenes.
You're trying to think of that time, though, in the 90s.
Like A Few Good Men,
yeah, Cruise.
Tom Cruise is good. But Tom Cruise is good in A Few Good Men.
I like Tom Cruise. I like Tom Cruise.
I love that casting decision.
I mean, this is irreplaceable. Like, the...
But like,
I don't know if Harrison Ford, because
I can't see Harrison Ford.
Ford
I cannot see Harrison Ford.
Can Harrison Ford narrate that?
I cannot see Harrison Ford as
Red. Also, Red was actually supposed to be an Irish redhead.
Yeah, Red is actually an Irish guy. Frank Darabont changed it to.
But besides Harrison Ford,
because
Harrison Ford. Also, in the other running besides Harrison Ford for Red was Clint Eastwood.
No,
Harrison Ford, Paul Newman, and Robert Redford.
And Robert, I think Robert Redford was.
They were all been good, but Morgan Freeman didn't win the Oscar for that. We should have.
I know.
He won it for Robin Hood.
Because of that, Morgan Freeman narrates everything now.
Yeah.
He's
and for Andy Dufresne, it was Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, Kevin Costner, Nicolas Cage, and Charlie Sheen and Johnny Depp were all in the running for this role.
Tom Hanks had to turn it down because he had just signed, he had chose Forrest Gump over.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was doing Forrest Gump, and Kevin Costner turned it down for Waterworld.
I can see.
I'm sorry.
I don't know about Johnny Depp. I
underestimate
Johnny Depp. So.
Let's talk about Charlie Sheen.
Johnny Depp
and Nick of Time?
Charlie Sheen and Nicolas Cage for Any New Frame.
Charlie Sheen, unfortunately, wasn't that like his arrival period where he's become like heavy?
It was like right after Hot Shots or something. But like, and then, yeah, so Tom Hanks is doing Forrest Gump and Kevin Costner's Waterworld. So they couldn't do it. And Tom Hanks won for Forrest Gump.
Right, so he's like, I made the right choice.
But it's interesting to see that whole type of casting to go into that, but they ended on Tim Robbins out of all people because before that,
did Tim Robbins even get nominated for that role?
I think he did. Yes,
yeah.
He should. Deserve
don't forget Tommy too. Don't.
Who?
I don't know Tommy what that single was singing about. But
oh yeah, what was up for Tommy?
So Brad Pitt was actually up for the role of Tommy, and ended up playing Tommy Hill Bellows.
So Tommy is the
young guy that came in like
had midway through. Elvis, who was shot?
The one who wanted to help.
The Bruce Springsteen Elvis looking guy.
Who was supposed to be that?
Brad Pitt.
Oh.
He was too busy making a film on Louise.
Yeah.
I mean, he could do
it.
Anyone could really.
Amazing.
That was such a small role. He was just wanting to kill him so quickly.
But, like, how did you. Yeah. But, like, when you see that now, like, nobody could play that but Tim Robbins. You know, he killed that role from Howard the Duck to fucking.
What's also like surprising is that the prison itself, someone finally just bought it and started doing tours there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, it took them 20 years.
Part of that set or that set they use on Air Force One, which is full circular.
Come tar the roof.
But yeah, that movie is still one of the best movies. It's made so many people's like best of ever lists, like in the top five.
Are you kidding me? It's like, it's so incredible. It's liberating. Would that be
your top 20 films or top 10 films?
Well, it's my number one.
It's your number one.
Top 20, I guess.
Top 20 for sure.
I'd have to reevaluate my top.
I'm doing a top 25 list.
Top 10?
Because Silent Booth takes top
5. No.
Not top 20?
I think it's top 20 for sure.
Top 20.
But I do actually, that's one of those movies that when I hear like a guy like that, I'm like, that's a good quality.
That's
awesome.
That's quality. It's a quality.
You'll find a wall.
But it's how, and so I guess Frank Darabont, during the making of the Frank Darabont, during the making of the film, he watched Goodfellas a lot to get that narration, the passing of time, the narration, to get that perfect for the movie. I think that's badass. And Frank Darabont, he's done so well. He's done several Stephen King.
Yeah.
You know, he did Green Mile. He did The Mist.
Little Easter eggs that they're bringing out, like, telling you, like, the Red's cell number was actually 237, which is the Shining.
Yeah. And Morgan Freeman's young head or mugshot was his son.
Yeah. It's cool that all these little factors started to come out because people love this movie so much.
And
trying to bring more and more stuff out.
The original title of the book was
Rita Hayworth.
Rita Hayworth, Shawshank Redemption.
It was also
an incredible book.
Because you also have Stand By Me in that book.
Yeah, that's true.
If you were in prison, what poster would you have on your wall?
Bruce Campbell.
That's the guy. That's honestly, I'm surprised. I'm surprised he didn't say he wanted to marry Ash from Army.
What was the ending poster? Was Raquel Welch, right, from 2000 BC? Was that
he slowly? Yeah.
Or was it? Wasn't Barbarella? Was it?
It was Raquel Welch
from 2000 BC. Yeah.
So, and she supposedly loved the movie and loved that she was up there. But that's such a and so. Speaking of Shawshank, I can't believe it's been 20 years since Shawshank.
That's a horse apple.
Holy shit. So were you born then in 1994?
Yes, I was born.
So, I mean, many years. There are some movies that are classics, though, that stand the test of time. I mean, that are still incredible. That is one of them.
No, that is definitely one of them. That's
it's
perfectly made. Halloween II was not one of them.
Well played.
Who swam through every shit and came out clean on the other side.
Do you guys ever see that tweet that some comedian was like, you know, when Morgan Freeman dies, his eulogy is going to be narrated by animals?
I hope he, like, records his own eulogy and has it, like, played.
Y'all sitting here, I'm not with you
anymore.
Hopefully
he's
ready.
Or his eulogy will be done by Samuel Jackson.
Fuck yeah. I'm tired of these motherfuckers.
Losing roles to this dead motherfucker.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man. Let's be sick.
All right. So Shawshank, we love it. It's so good. But since it is, we hate to do this, but we're going to do one of our infamous recasting segment.
Ryan loves to break your heart
on Shawshank.
I said, like, this is a tough one. I was like, this is a tough one.
This is a tough one.
I go to my husband and I'm like,
this is the one that I was like, every time I pick, I was like, fuck it.
I want a show of hands. Right. I want a show of hands who cast Kevin Hart for every role here.
If you did, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Okay, so
the role of Brooks.
So we're gonna do one of our famous recast sessions. So if you haven't known, we take a movie that in this day and age it's probably gonna be get remade or rebooted.
It better not. This one
we've done it a lot.
We cannot remake Shawshank Redemption.
We've recast. We recast Rocky Horror Picture Show. We recast Lord of the Rings with an all black cast, which was awesome. We recast Empire Records. We've done a lot. But we're gonna do Shawshank because we did a segment on Shawshank, and we're only doing five characters. So we're gonna start with Captain Hadley, which was played by the irreplaceable Clancy Brown.
How did you recast the Kurgan in anything?
The Kurgan. So Captain Hadley was the big bad security guard of the prison. He was terrible. I went with Tom Hardy.
He's too short.
He can wear platforms, dude.
No! I'm a tall guy.
Yes. Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon is tall, but
Michael
that would be...
Shannon's a good
Michael
choice.
Shannon.
I will find him.
He has those eyes.
He does have
crazy eyes.
Yeah. Ooh, Michael Shannon's good.
I pick Corey Stoll.
Who's Corey Stoll?
I was on the
ice.
He's in This Is Where I Leave You. He's that bald guy.
He's so good.
He's in everything.
He's Darkness Drain. He was Ernest Hathaway in The Night in Paris.
And he's in...
He's in everything.
House of Cards.
Oh, is he? Yeah. I don't watch House of Cards. But lately, I've watched a lot of movies with him.
Have you seen House of Cards?
He's a good actor, and he's kind of has a plan.
I'm going to catch up on invest in another TV show.
All right.
Okay, I went two ways. I went with Vince Vaughn because Vince Vaughn's got that tall, bulky height. He's kind of big right now. He's got crazy eyes.
And if you've seen him in Clay Pigeons, he's fucking evil.
That's actually a pretty good
crazy in Clay Pigeons. And then I also thought, why not throw in Tim Robbins now?
Oh, shit.
Because Tim Robbins is a big dude.
He is. I'm trying to think if I can see him play awful because I want to know if he would just come across silly, though.
Yeah.
He wouldn't come across silly. I think he could do it. Dude, come on.
I like Big Vaughn better.
I like Big Vaughn.
You beat somebody up, don't you?
This is a domestic disturbance.
Did you see Patchouli, Ian? From
Ian Patchouli, that's right.
All right.
$5.
I like that.
Well done.
All right, Andrew.
I also have Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Shannon so far seems to be a pretty
he's got the
crazy eye.
Jeffrey Dini.
Ron Perlman.
I think I like that one.
That one's good.
I'm gonna do Ron Perlman. Fuck yeah.
From time to time, he'll break into sort of his character from Pacific Rim.
Knives Chow.
He's
not Knives Chow. Animal Chow.
Knives Chow.
Cannibal Chow.
Yeah, there's a sequel out there.
Michael Shannon or Ron Perlman? Vote.
Well, you know he's in the same Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman or...
It's so tough.
But they're both good.
They're both good. I was thinking of Michael Shannon, but
okay.
I still think...
I'm going to say Michael Shannon, too, because of his eyes.
Ron Perlman.
Michael Shannon.
Oh, shit.
I just think Ron Perlman's way
better.
Let the folks decide. Ron Perlman and Michael Shannon. Tell us which one you like better.
They'll play different... They're twins, guys. They're going to play twin...
Twin guards.
Hey,
I'm like the twins from Hot Fuzz. I don't know. Nobody tells me.
Y'all aren't
going
to like my William Sadler.
All right. Now we're going with Haywood, played by William Sadler, who is also the Reaper in... Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
He's also in Roswell.
He's
the Reaper in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. He goes,
Butch and Sundance, the early years.
We got some Hank Williams up in here.
Haywood was one of the inmates. He was the country guy.
He's
kind of
nice.
One. Yeah. I went with Carl Urban.
It's a weird choice.
That is a real weird choice.
Did we play that well?
I went with Oscar Isaacs.
Okay, from Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a good one.
I went with Chris Hemsworth. Don't laugh, he can do it.
All night
long. He's too meaty, come on.
He can't be taller and muscular.
This was hard. I really couldn't replace William Sadler. He was one of my favorite characters in that movie.
Yeah. I went with two interchangeable choices that were both protective. I couldn't believe I did it. Woody Harrelson and either Matthew McConaughey, because they're both very...
I actually almost said Matthew McConaughey.
I think Matthew McConaughey more, because Matthew McConaughey...
I see Woody Harrelson more than that.
Yeah, I see Woody Harrelson.
But I mean, like, honestly, either one of them could really do it, because they have that face for bit role.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do it, because they're more... and they've got that country element to them, you know, that's also rugged and hard. And Woody Harrelson's dad was in prison.
That's true.
In Huntsville. I know, because I worked at the Texas Prison Museum. I saw the shoes that used to carry the man's shoe.
That's awesome. So, okay, there's that.
Nice.
Andrew.
I went with Simon Pegg.
Really?
Because he's the funny one.
No, but that's actually a good choice.
Yeah, an American accent, not doing his normal thing, is sort of toned down, and I think that he would be good for it. I think he could do it easily. And
he could play a dramatic role.
I like that casting, too.
Yeah.
All right. And Chaffardini.
John C. Riley. Because he can do humor. He can do straight.
I feel like it'd be too much humor for me. I'd
laugh
too much.
Face and laugh.
Yeah. Not let you look funny, John, but you make me laugh. All right. I'm not doing C. Riley or Hemsworth. The others I do like, though.
Who'd you say?
Oscar Isaacs from Tommy.
Yeah.
I'll
pick Oscar
Isaac.
But.
I'll pick Oscar Isaac. Or Matthew McConaughey if you're going to rule that. Or did you rule that
so,
out?
No.
Well, you said no Hemsworth.
No, I just said no Hemsworth. No.
So, Matthew McConaughey or Isaac.
Oscar I'm actually going to go with the Woody Harrelson thing.
You want Woody Harrelson?
I think Woody Harrelson's going to be a
I like Woody
more.
Harrelson, too.
I'd go Woody over Simon.
I do Woody Harrelson.
All right, Woody's fine.
Oh,
Woody Harrelson.
I'm okay with Woody.
Not much to look at.
You're okay with a Woody? What?
Okay,
yeah.
Woody.
I guess I'll go with
okay.
That.
If you're not okay with
the big bad Warden Norton, played by the impressive Bob Gooten. And it's great if you ever saw the TV show Greg the Bunny, which was only on for one season.
Of course,
Bob Gooten was hilarious in that show.
We're going to go with my choice.
No.
I think my choice is really good. I'm not going to
mine, guys. Mine.
All right, I went with Jeff Goldblum.
No, terrible.
That would be awesome.
Better than that.
What? Jeff Goldblum's awesome, but that's not a good choice.
I have a kind of a tie, but they're both kind of the same person. Either J.K. Simmons or Richard Jenkins.
J.K. Simmons is a good choice, but no. Next.
John Cusack.
No.
He would be so good at it.
Maybe.
He would be really good. He's worn those little glasses in a movie before,
okay,
too.
I went based on the glasses. Yeah. I went based on the glasses,
too. He's
big,
evil, and...
J.K. Simpson so far is...
I'm going to hold that thought, but I'm going to say Jack Coleman, a.k.a. HRG from Heroes. Think about it.
Have you ever watched Heroes?
The first season. Only the first season. That's all you need to watch.
Yeah, it got terrible.
Dude, Jack Coleman would be perfect, and he has played...
He was in town for...
Borderline bad guy. Come on, think about it. He's perfect.
I still like J.K. Simmons quite a bit.
I like
Simmons, yeah,
no, I don't think J.K. Simmons. With the
I like
glasses.
Richard Jenkins over J.K. Simmons.
All right.
I said Rob Corddry.
Oh my god.
I'd laugh
so. Shut him down. No.
I'd laugh at that. I mean, he's awesome.
He's not like, he's serious. He's like, he's done that whole series. Like, it's. I think it worked. I think
he'd be too funny.
No.
Mostly,
Ooh.
Oh, you want to see female? Yes.
Melissa Leo?
I did see that. I love Titans.
Intensity as a woman.
And Red State.
I haven't seen that.
Melissa Leo is a good one.
I actually like that.
The female warden? I like Melissa Leo and J.K. Simmons.
Jeff
Goldblum would
be
awesome. Are you serious? The whole obtuse
scene? John Cusack is so good. Yeah. You've seen John Cusack evil, right? Like, he's pretty freaking scary.
I think Richard Jenkins can...
Richard Jenkins...
I think J.K. Simmons or Melissa Leo are the top choices.
No.
I think Richard Jenkins is better than J.K. Simmons.
Really?
I'm diehard standing by my choice. I think HRG, personally.
You will always be HRG.
God, who are we going to pick for this? We have to decide.
Like my choice.
My husband and I were like, dude, HRG, what?
Who are we casting in this? It's the hardest one so far.
Well, you know, I think since, first of all, recasting this is an outlandish proposition, but second, if you are going to go for the gusto, you go for the crazy options. You don't go for like, well, I picked Ron Perlman because he looked kind of like the part. But I mean, if you want to just go crazy, go crazy. Don't pick someone in keeping with who's already cast. You know, imagine this is like
Kevin Hart. It is.
Yeah,
Kevin Hart. It is. Melissa Leo, J.K. Simmons, man.
I like Melissa Leo.
But that would be awesome.
Rough.
I don't like
so three Melissa Leos. We need one more Melissa Leo.
They would never have a female warden. We're putting women in tyranny.
You realize this,
especially for the times too. Like,
no, I mean, like,
no way.
What a
vetoed.
I love the pick, but I'm
yeah. But if it's a remake, it could be modern day.
No.
Honestly,
we're putting down Melissa Leo, and we're gonna try. We're gonna put down another person.
Richard Jenkins.
Okay. Sorry.
I do like
Hillary.
Your choice, but
J. Jonah Jameson.
Richard Jenkins.
I want to meet him so bad, and I just want to go.
Richard Jenkins.
All right. The role of Red. Ellis Boyd. Red Redding. I went with Chetawil Ejiofor.
I almost picked him. He was my second choice.
I went back to the redheaded Irish guy and picked Chris O'Dowd.
Wow.
All right. So you went straight from the book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You picked him last week.
I know. I like Chris O'Dowd.
He really wants Chris O'Dowd in a movie.
I picked Idris Elba.
I knew that was coming. That's why I didn't do that.
I thought of Elba,
but when I saw
I thought of him too.
To play him.
So if you've seen EGO4 in Serenity, he's so good in that.
I didn't say him because I didn't want you guys to be like, oh, because he was a slave in that movie. You thought he had to be a prisoner in this movie.
He's moving his way up.
He does get free.
Chris O'Dowd
just
did.
Like
good at
marrying.
I'm okay with Idris Elba.
EGO4?
Oh, I can get
you. I also said Idris Elba. That was my thing as well.
Yeah. I chose Clark Peters. He was Lester from The Wire.
Oh, I like that.
Interesting.
Because he's younger
than
Morgan Freeman, but he's still older.
What else did he play?
Yeah. He was in Tremé. He's in. He's been in a lot. You'd recognize him.
Was he in Walking Dead yet? Everyone on The Wire is in Walking Dead now.
Yeah. This season.
I still pick either.
Ejiofor? Chetawil Ejiofor?
Or.
Well, let's see.
Everyone hates my Chris O'Dowd.
Yes. Let's go with. What does Trafford Eating have to say?
It's a woman, right?
Mel Gibson.
What?
No, wait, that's not funny. That's actually quite awesome.
Oh, okay.
My rationale is if you think of Mel Gibson's character in The Man Without a Face, that temperament he has, a little bit of kindness.
Yes.
And, Mel Gibson. I mean, he's just like, you know, Red was worn down by the prison system. I mean, get to the end of the movie where he's like, I can't squeeze a leak unless someone gives me the say so to go to the bathroom. Just like just his demeanor. I think Gibson could pull it off.
No. I think Gibson could pull it off as well. Absolutely. I like Mel Gibson, and he hates the Jews. I love Mel Gibson.
I think that is unbelievable.
Why would that be unbelievable?
No, I think it's unbelievable that you like Mel Gibson.
I do like Mel Gibson. I did not like Passion of the Christ, but, man, Apocalypto was fucking great.
But El Gringo was great?
I liked El Gringo.
I liked the Lethal Weapon movies. Good. I'm not gonna lie.
I like Lethal Weapon. I like Mel Gibson. He apologized. He spoke at Rosh Hashanah like a few years ago.
I don't have a problem with Mel Gibson. I don't care.
I really like Payback.
So, Edgeofor or Mel Gibson?
Wait, why do you rule out Idris Elba, too?
All right.
Yeah. Why do you rule out Park Peters?
Idris, Edgeofor, or Mel Gibson?
I mean, I'll stick with Idris if he's still in the running.
Edgeofor.
Edgeofor.
Because I didn't know Idris was so dead.
For who?
Chris O'Dowd.
You're making me choose between...
I don't think it's going to be Mel
Gibson. Thank God, Idris.
So Liam Neeson. It's got to be Edgeofor or
Idris. I'm a man with a certain set of skills.
I don't think everybody's going to do Mel Gibson.
I can teach you a friend.
I like Elba, but I think...
I have a certain set of skills.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm trying to...
Kyle Town?
I'm trying to see.
So Edgeofor, Elba, Edgeofor...
Can you come back to me on that? Because okay. After we pass...
It's already too late.
Okay.
No. After, why don't we wait to... Why don't we pass
I do Egypt 4.
That's fine.
Egypt 4.
Egypt 4. Egypt 4.
Okay. For the main event, Andy Dufresne.
I had two choices.
I was seriously stressing.
Tim Robbins played him perfectly. And we're going to start
nobody's good.
With Taffardini this time.
Oh, no.
Taffardini, yep. Andy Dufresne.
I have three.
Danny Glover.
And they are equally absurd as my other choices.
Danny Glover.
I'm too old. Okay. It's not hard to say.
It writes itself. First one is Zachary Quinto.
Eyebrows.
Second one is Michael B. Jordan.
Greg Grunberg could have been the.
And the last one is just to be funny, but funny good work.
Matt Damon.
Oh, you know, it's funny. It's actually funny that you should thought about that, though.
He's not too old.
Right now?
Tim Robbins was 43 when he did
but play the role. So young.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. He was born in 58, so 94.
But he was playing like a 24-year-old.
But he was 44 years old.
Okay, but Tim Robbins looked younger. Yeah, what was he playing?
All right, let him finish.
Okay, go ahead.
So Matt Damon.
Zachary Quinto, Michael B. Jordan, and...
Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Like, well, I mean, I'm thinking of the dynamic between someone who's young and, you know, I'm taking the red and dynamic and flipping.
So, taking the good and the bad. Back to black.
All right, Andrew. Andy Frame, Andrew.
Oh, that's hard.
I have two choices.
Well, one of my choices was actually had Corey Stahl down as one of my choices.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my choices, too.
Oh, okay.
So I just think, you know, he's proved... He's a good actor. He's in so much stuff nowadays, and he's proved that he can play that.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yeah, do you ever see him play Ernest Hemingway in the Woody Allen movie, Free Appearance?
Or House of Cards.
House of Cards. So, yeah, I'm going with him.
Okay, Corey Stahl.
Mm-hmm. My first choice was funny because before I settled on who I chose... was Matt Damon. And my husband goes, really? What about? And then we decided Patrick Wilson.
He's a good choice, too.
Ooh, Patrick Wilson.
I thought about him.
That is pretty good.
Like, it was like, and then once he said Patrick Wilson, I could not think about him as that. I was like, wow, Patrick Wilson. I told you he was there.
All right. Oh, Patrick Wilson.
I picked James McAvoy.
You would.
The booth's not busy.
That's not bad. I really thought about that one.
It's been a Shia LaBeouf.
I would never have picked Shia LaBeouf for that role.
Robert.
James McAvoy is a.
I like McAvoy.
Just look at that.
Let me just say, Matt Damon was good. Corey Stahl. I really like your Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, you did.
It was tough to decide because. I don't want this recasted, but...
So McAvoy, huh?
McAvoy,
okay.
In a wheelchair, or...?
Like, I had Corey Stahl also, but I thought someone... I was thinking about younger actors, and I thought Jack Huston might be a really good choice.
Houston, that's a good one.
He just got cast as Ben-Hur, and he was on Boardwalk Empire as Richard the Half-Faced Man.
Yeah.
And he was also a small part in American Hustle. But yeah,
and he was also in Kill Your Darlings.
Yeah.
As Kerouac.
Kerouac, yeah.
That's a good. I like Jack Huston.
I like Jack Huston a lot too.
So.
And I picked Leo.
That's not his real voice though.
Commercial is.
Who's your
guys? Leo DiCaprio.
You can audition me for James McAvoy.
What's wrong with Leo DiCaprio?
Terrible choice.
That's a terrible choice in comparison. James McAvoy is better than that.
For fuck's sake.
His head's too round.
His head's too large.
Okay. So, Jack who Houston. Are we all liking right now?
Patrick Wilson.
Jack Houston. Think about it.
So,
I'll go with Patrick Wilson.
Yeah!
I'll go with Patrick Wilson too, actually.
Oh, shit.
Because you guys don't know who Jack Houston is.
Yeah, I don't.
Three for Patrick Wilson.
I really like Jack Houston a lot.
I think he would be better in the Tommy part. Tommy?
Yeah.
Tommy?
Tommy? Or hell, even.
I thought it was Aziz. I was thinking it was Aziz Ansari.
He would be a desolate.
I like Patrick Wilson a lot, but I don't know if he can.
I don't know if he can do it. I think Chris
I like Chris Dahl. So.
What about Michael Fassbender? I almost thought about him.
No.
I guess I'll go with Patrick Wilson. I can see.
Yes.
Fine, Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson.
Okay.
He was on my list, so it's fine.
He was on my list.
So our new, our remade Shawshank Redemption will star
gotta have it.
Either Ron Perlman or Michael Shannon as the captain.
It's gotta star Michael Shannon, dude.
Like Woody Harrelson, Melissa Leo or Richard Jenkins, Chetawil Ejiofor, and Patrick Wilson.
He squints way too much in all of his movies.
Who?
Patrick Wilson.
What about the guy
he
from
does.
Third Rock from
he
the Sun?
He squints so much.
What's the guy from Third Rock from the Sun?
French Stewart?
French Stewart?
What?
He could.
Patrick
Wilson
all
like.
Yeah.
And he was in the worst episode of Girls ever.
Who?
Patrick Wilson. It was the worst episode.
Well, there's been a lot of worst episodes of
they
Girls.
Yeah, that was good, right?
Like the
oh
whole,
my god.
Almost the whole last season was bad. But that's our Shawshank Redemption. That's our 44th podcast. We finished. What?
Wait.
Susan almost is dying
Susan's
right now. What's happening?
What are you vomiting about?
I'm laughing because I'm picturing Lena Dunham with her
penis. It's so gross.
In her, Lena Dunham with a penis?
Well, she was our one fan, guys, and now you just alienated her, so.
Yeah.
In the episode of Patrick Wilson, she's thanking people.
She's thanking
we have lost Susan officially.
Well, that's it, guys. Thanks to her.
That's not a tremor.
No, hold on. I want to know what she's laughing. She's crying. She's laughing.
No, we'll talk about it after the video.
Patrick Wilson playing
sorry.
Well, that's our 44th podcast. Find us on iTunes,
so
Stitcher
gross.
Radio, Facebook,
yes.
Twitter, Instagram.
Let us know who you would have cast if we messed up. Let us know.
Kevin Hart.
And who should direct this movie? Come on,
no.
Tell us.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay's Shawshank Redemption.
The prison.
Ryan Johnson.
Wolf
starring Transformers.